you hear the word decentralization thrown around a lot, and it gives you the imagery, gives you the illusion that decentralization is in itself the single and most important prerequisite for censorship resistance. I'm sorry to tell you this, but it's not. They lied to you. I'm out here enjoying nature with my dogs. They're just chilling there, enjoying life, as you should be too. In crypto, people are having a hard time enjoying life because they've been deceived. They've been deceived by propaganda and marketing that has falsely promoted Ethereum and Bitcoin as being censorship-resistant platforms. They are not. The good news is that we are still in the early days of crypto and that humanity at large is still discovering these digital assets. We are at the beginning, folks. Things are just really getting started. You have to understand a terrain before you can judge that terrain and before you can move within that terrain. And all of this fake news in crypto about Bitcoin being censorship resistant, Ethereum being censorship resistant, has caused a lot of people to interact within these platforms in ways that are not wise. Just think about it. You can't be censorship resistant if you are using a transparent ledger. It's a matter of fact that government, special interests, just scientists, people doing research are going to look at these blockchains, at these ledgers that are open and transparent. Properly speaking, these transparent protocols, these transparent blockchains like Ethereum, like Bitcoin, like the vast majority of the crypto space, arguably they are all surveillance coins. And because properly they do offer a means towards mass surveillance. So a lot of the marketing around Ethereum was one, and about, around Bitcoin as well, obviously. But let's talk about Ethereum. Revolved around it being, autonomous, right? You have the decentralized autonomous organization, the DAO that they promoted for many years. There was even a big hack within Ethereum called the DAO hack, where the Ethereum central planners decided to determine the future of the protocol by centralized decree. There is also, you hear the word decentralization thrown around a lot, and it gives you the imagery, gives you the illusion that decentralization is in itself the single and most important prerequisite for censorship resistance. I'm sorry to tell you this, but it's not. They lied to you. And it's sad. It's sad because a lot of us told you guys that if you truly want to be censorship resistant, you should be championing another word. You should be championing another quality of these systems of cooperation. Because indeed, these are all systems of cooperation, and that's fungibility. Within the system of interaction, every transaction looks the same, feels the same. There is no way to discriminate between one transaction or another. In Ethereum and in Bitcoin, reputation follows what it's supposed to be a a ledger of accountability, the blockchain itself. So you find yourself dealing with protocols that are actually antagonistic to what it is that they promote. They promote an environment for human beings to cooperate freely. And to be honest, I have no problem with protocols that are transparent, as long as you're being honest and as long as you know what you're really getting into, because there are use cases for that. I'll get to that in a little bit. But the most important thing here is to understand that the vast majority of the crypto space has been lied to about what these protocols can offer, what they can do, and how they function. In crypto, I personally find myself in a very unique position. Aside from the team at the Crypto Vigilante, the rest of the analysts, I am the only one. I mean, maybe Mr. Z is someone that is very, he has a lot of liquid intelligence. You know the difference between liquid intelligence and crystallized intelligence. Where I think he's more open to different paradigms. Aside from him, like, I'm the only one that sees value, real value in what we would also call surveillance coins, surveillance protocols. And that's because I think the market needs different tools for interaction. Right now, you're seeing me through whether it be BitChute Library, Vigilante.tv, YouTube. You're watching this video through an open, pretty transparent network, right? Where I'm out in the open. Some people like me, for some reason, we're okay being out in the open. And I think if you look at the success of social media, Twitter, Facebook, you will see that there's an inherent need to connect out in the open. Human beings want to share. Now, does that mean that should be the only option in the market? No, of course not. For those that are more privacy conscious, there should be more private options, right? Now, when we talk about these systems of cooperation, a lot of what Bitcoin and crypto really have striven for has been the ultimate and the first and most important system of cooperation, which is money. And we're dealing with these proto-monies, right? These monies, these cryptocurrencies that are competing in being money in the future. These all of these assets are still in the process of becoming. And arguably, yes, the fact that money is the first app that we must conquer in crypto, that's something that, you know, I agree with my team on. I agree with Mr. X completely on this. I think that cryptocurrency as currency is that which should be tackled and really experimented on and embrace fully. And we need to achieve as much perfection in that area as possible. Because without money, without solving the problem of money and having a censorship-resistant, decentralized system of cooperation, money, good money, sound money, in the age of modern finance, we won't be able to do anything else. That's the most important thing. So that's kind of like where we're at. And that's what we champion most at the Crypto Vigilante, because we think, you know what, we have to focus on what matters most. And that's why we take the arguments of BTC and Bitcoin Cash to their ultimate logical conclusion, that if you really want to be digital gold and digital cash, you need to be fungible. And by far, my favorite cryptocurrency is Monero. Pirate Chain is also, I love it because it competes with Monero. And it's the only true competitor to Monero. And it's a younger network that arguably uses more sophisticated technology, although Monero creates technology from scratch. And Monero is ever evolving. Monero also has the virtue of it having a very sophisticated and humble network of contributors. Like, the Monero contributor will be quick to tell you what are the possible vulnerabilities of Monero, and they are ready to tell you how they plan on fixing things within Monero in the future if anything were to go wrong. They're much more ready to tell you these things than they are to tell you how great Monero is. And I say this a lot because this is a typical constant experience that I have with people in the Monero community. They are humble and they pursue excellence. And by far, that's my favorite cryptocurrency on the planet. I think that the value proposition for Monero is still, it's fucking amazing because it's really everything that Bitcoin BTC and Bitcoin Cash have promoted. And look at how valuable BTC has been. And yet, we know, and any honest Bitcoiner will tell you, that Monero is everything BTC desires to be. At this point, I can only say that any BTC Bitcoiner that tells you that Monero is not superior in utility and fundamentals than BTC is lying to you. We're at that point. So, because it's obvious that Monero is superior. Come on, let's go. Come on. So check this out. Come on, guys. Come on, you can do it. So we haven't walked in these trails in a while, and the brush just grew like crazy. All right. Got to clean that up. So we are at the beginning, still at the beginning. We're still in the early days of crypto, guys. So I want this to be a message of encouragement, because thus far, all of these cryptocurrencies thus far have been experiments in the open market. Experiments that started with Satoshi Nakamoto. Experiments which we all engaged in one way or another. And they geek us out because they promise us a new world, new ways of doing things, new ways of interacting and cooperating that are more free, that are more value producing, that are just completely open and in the free market for everyone to use and experiment with. Crypto's amazing, but we have to learn from these experiences that we're having right now and reassess everything that we know constantly and everything that we hear. For example, what's happened with Tornado Cash in the Ethereum network ought not to be a surprise to any of you. If you're surprised by it, it's because for some reason you did not have the right information. A transparent protocol like Ethereum or Bitcoin are open and transparent by default. These networks strive for some privacy, but that privacy is always going to be optional. When you have optional privacy, you really never do have privacy. How is that? Well, let me explain it to you. Because if I were someone that wanted to surveil a mixer like Tornado Cash or CoinJoin, what I would do is put a bunch of my own transactions into that mixer and probabilistically determine how transactions that don't belong to me, amounts that don't belong to me, probabilistically I can define where they end up and in what wallets. So you need a high anonymity set per transaction, and that's what provides you privacy by default, which needs to protect the privacy of the sender, the amount transacted, and the receiver. Furthermore, if you really want to be private on the internet, you need to take care of your connection to the internet and to the your connection to these protocols. So at the Crypto Vigilante, we know that we live in a world that's crazy and that there are a lot of criminals out there, a lot of tyrants out there, and that you need to be safe. So yeah, we do teach operational security. You know, what is a Bitcoin wallet? How do I use it? How do I use an Ethereum wallet correctly? How do I use a Monero wallet correctly? So yeah, we talk about fundamental analysis. What the fuck are we talking about? What are these assets? Technical analysis, when do we get in, when do we get out? And operational security. How do I actually use these things? What are the best practices? Because remember, you are the custodian, you are your own bank. And these technologies require a high degree of responsibility. Now, if you've been lied to about Monero, about Ethereum or Bitcoin, I'm sorry you were lied to. But at the same time, I think we all need to take responsibility for our actions, and we can't blame other people. So insofar as the liar gave you the false message, which was a big chunk of the crypto world, telling you DeFi this, DeFi that, telling you about DAOs and giving you the impression that Ethereum was censorship resistant, I'm really sorry that they lied to you. But then you should hold yourself accountable for not doing further research beyond that. So money. A lot of Bitcoiners and a lot of people, especially my partners at the Crypto Vigilante, and I agree with them. We all agree that the most important issue is money, like I said earlier. And beyond money, there are other desires in the market, different ways to cooperate, different ways to create businesses, to create ventures. So enter the world of the smart contract protocol, right? The driver behind Ethereum, right? I'm a Bitcoin big blocker, and I've always believed that you can do that on the Bitcoin blockchain because Satoshi gave us a programming language, but that's not the topic of this story, right? I'm trying to tell you what the desire is in the market. There is a desire for that in the market. It's evident, right? We had Ethereum, EOS, we've had Cardano, we've had so many assets. And a lot more in the making. But you will notice that the vast majority of these assets, of these protocols, smart contract protocols, let's call them that, they're still transparent and open to surveillance. All the ones I just mentioned, EOS, Cardano, Tezos, Ethereum, they're all open and transparent. Even Bitcoin. In the big blocker version, BSV is completely open to mass surveillance. They're all transparent protocols, guys. So what does this mean? It means that we are at the cusp of great opportunity. In what way? Well, the market's been showing you that people want a censorship-resistant smart contract protocol, right? Okay, great, where is that? And that's the good news, that they're being created right now, and that we're just at the beginning of this renaissance where we're really going to have smart contract protocols that are private by default. I'm very excited. I'm referring to Dero, D-E-R-O, and DarkFi. That's Amir Taki and Rose, and a bunch of other developers, hacktivists that are working on DarkFi. DarkFi is to be a proof of stake protocol for smart contracts. I think that they're still kind of in, it seems to me like they're still, from the times I've spoken to them, they're still in the process of kind of research and development. I think they have a very clear vision of what it is that they want and why they want what they want to create. But I think that they're still pretty early. Darrow, on the other hand, has already launched its mainnet. A lot of people within the privacy space has been critical of Darrow, as they should be, because the privacy space only thrives based on skepticism. So anything new, like Darkfire Darrow, should be analyzed, researched, and peer-reviewed like crazy. And that's kind of like why we love Monero so much, because Monero is that community which holds the torch for all of crypto, in that they are adamant in pursuing the free and open source software ethos. No one else in crypto like holds the free and open source software ethos to as much esteem as the Monero community. And that's a very beautiful thing. That's something that we all should champion and we should all get behind, because it is in Monero that we find real cypherpunk development in a way unlike anywhere else in crypto, guys. It really is. They are the standard of excellence in crypto. And so if you guys are new to Monero, I'd invite you to join and to like get to know this community, because they're very interesting. It's all about skepticism. It's all about peer reviewing like crazy. And there's a sense of dignity, because they pursue excellence and they honor each other to such a degree in the way that they peer review themselves. That's unlike anything else I've ever seen. Their attitude is just awesome. So I think Monero is the gold standard of cryptocurrency by far. But is there a space for smart contract protocols that are also private by default? Yes. And is there a market demand for it? Of course. And so here we are dealing with Monero being everything that BTC has marketed itself to be, number one. And now we have Darrow and DarkFi marketing themselves, not marketing themselves, actually striving for and building the right way that which Ethereum, Cardano, EOS, Big Block Bitcoin, a lot of these protocols have marketed themselves to be. What does this mean? It doesn't mean that these protocols are bad. It just means that if you use a protocol like Ethereum, BSV, Cardano, Tezos, you know that you are within a network that is not resistant to government censorship. To think that this is not a concern for BTC is wrong, because Bitcoin miners are also susceptible to government censorship. Again, these are transparent protocols, people. And it's really important for you guys to understand this, that you're not dealing with what it is that they market themselves to be. I'm sorry that you were lied to. I'm sorry that you were told that these things are censorship resistant. They're not. And people are going to be finding this out more and more as time goes on. In my opinion, we're just seeing the cusp of what's going to happen, because people operated thinking that they were using censorship-resistant protocols, and they were not. Now, like I said at the beginning, I am someone, and I have not really found anyone like me that sees value in transparent protocols and privacy coins. It seems that crypto is it's an either or tribalist environment. And I don't agree with that. I think that there is value, like I said earlier, to transparent protocols, that there is a market need for them. First and foremost, if they're done right with proper economics, transparent protocols and even transparent smart contract protocols can lead us into a freer world, because jurisdictions will have to become ever more free in order for the operators of these networks to embrace the economy within those jurisdictions. So if China wants to ban Bitcoin miners, do it. And guess what? The market will recalibrate and Bitcoin miners will find a home in jurisdictions that are more free. And all of that profit that comes from this industry will go to the people within those jurisdictions. And if something like the Chinese Communist Party wants to continue to close its doors to Bitcoin and to crypto, it's their loss and we don't care, because we don't really want to mingle with tyrants. So good. And so there is value. Look, I'm in the light now. There is value to being in the light and into having transparent protocols that keep people honest. Why is that? Because the assholes that want power in this world hate accountability. They hate to be held accountable. And what a transparent protocol does, like Ethereum, Bitcoin, is that it keeps them fucking accountable. Now, that's the virtue of these protocols that are open and transparent. That they're honesty ledgers, really. They're honesty protocols. Now, understand this. I am not saying that they're fungible or censorship resistant. No, I'm saying that their value is in keeping people accountable because of their transparent nature. And you should use them with that in mind, knowing that they're not resistant to censorship, knowing that you're operating within a system of mass surveillance, but there's value there. There's value there if you're a capitalist and you know how to use it. If you know how to use it properly, you'll be able, and by using it, I mean, you're not dumb. You don't act as if government law doesn't exist. You use it with intelligence for whatever venture there is, and you provide a good product that is out in the open, right? There is value in having open smart contract protocols like Ethereum, or like what BSV is trying to do. But if you do it right, there is value, guys. And for example, in my analysis, it is the only way to truly compete with big tech in a lot of aspects of what big tech does. Why is that? Because even though they're not resistant to censorship, they still provide an openness that allows for regulators to mingle within an environment that, if these markets grow over time in their network effect, it will keep more and more people accountable. Also, when we talk about big data itself needs to be owned by us. It can't be stuck in some Amazon server. And that's something else that's always pissed me off around about Ethereum is that a lot of the crypto world it's not that they don't care. It's almost as if they don't realize that if you're going to compete with big tech, you got to be able to scale to enterprise level. How are you going to compete with Amazon servers if everybody's running a Raspberry Pi or everyone's dependent on ASW server farms? You're not. So there is value there. Now, is it what I will personally use? I don't know. I'll see the product, but right now I'm using an open and transparent protocol that is centralized, like YouTube. Why wouldn't I want to use a more decentralized YouTube? I do actually. I use plenty. But why wouldn't I want a decentralized Twitter, like Twitch, where the information is stored on chain and scales on chain? You know, why wouldn't I want to use something like Jamify.xyz, where the songs in the forms of NFTs are on the blockchain? Why wouldn't I want to use something like Canonic.xyz, where publishers publish their books as NFTs and those books live on the blockchain forever? Why wouldn't I fucking want that. That's awesome. Those are great use cases. Now, does that mean that we forget about privacy, fungibility? No, those features of complete censorship resistant offer us other tools in the market that we need. Like, I love Signal Messenger. I love to communicate in privacy because I have a private life and I have a public life. I like things to be private. I like other things to be public. We all have a right to privacy. There's nothing wrong with wanting privacy in my transactions. If I'm a fund manager, I want to allocate resources for those that I manage funds for. I do not want a ledger that keeps an open ledger for anyone in the world to have, you know, to see what I'm doing with the money of the people I manage. No. I would probably want to use a privacy coin like Ethereum, Pirate Chain, Darrow, because that's, you know, that's what I value, you know what I'm saying? It's there are different tools out there, guys. There's tools for privacy and there are tools for honesty. And like I said, in crypto, it's hard to find someone like me that sees value in both. Most people are in an either or dichotomy, or they are in a confused state. And you see the confused state happening a lot in like BTC and in Ethereum, where they will tell you that these protocols are private enough because there's maybe the option of privacy here or there. But the truth is that, like we say, if it's not private by default, it is not private at all. And so, in order to drive this point home a little better, I'd like to play a video from Rose from DarkFi and Wrecked Media. They put out a video a couple weeks ago, which was amazing. It describes both the Lunar Punk, Solar Punk perspectives in crypto. And it seems to me like a lot of people in crypto are either a Solar Punk or a Lunar Punk. I tend to be both. I embrace both. I just think that they're different. They're different. Different classes of tools. And yeah, without further ado, here's our video.
Science fiction is a speculative exercise. By speculating on possible futures, sci-fi expands the space of possibilities. Crypto is an extreme kind of sci-fi because, as well as offering a vision of the future, it also provides the tools to make that future possible. Crypto is currently energized by a sci-fi called solarpunk. Evolved from cyberpunk, solarpunk is a utopian vision of the future characterized by its optimism. For solarpunks, the future is bright. Solarpunk casts away the dystopian shadows of cyberpunk and illuminates a world beyond the chaotic horizon. In many of the popular DeFi chains, solarpunk hackers are creating transparent infrastructures for funding public goods. The shared belief is simple. Public access to a decentralized and transparent financial system will lead to a fairer and more just world. Solarpunk is crypto's conscious mind. It is bright, self-confident, and future-oriented. Yet the counterpart to solarpunk faith is lunarpunk skepticism. Lunarpunks are the solar shadow self. They are the unconscious of this cycle. While solarpunks join DAOs, lunarpunks prepare for war and build privacy-enhanced tooling to protect their communities. Lunarpunk first came into being as a subset of solarpunk. It has always preferred encryption over the plain text paradigm offered by Ethereum and similar chains. Over time, the tensions created by solarpunk tendencies have only multiplied. Lunarpunk has been forced to break away from the solarpunk legacy and is now asserting its own. In the lunarpunk imaginary, a conflict between crypto and existing power structures is essentially pre-programmed. Regulation forces crypto underground. Anonymity proliferates. The lunarpunk vision is rejected as a bearish nightmare. Its foundational conflict, nation-states banning crypto, is dismissed by solarpunk because it produces fear, the kind of fear that compels people to grab their money and run. The optimism of solarpunk has become synonymous with bull market cycles, while pessimism is associated with the bear. Lunarpunk offers something beyond this simple oscillation. It is a moment of insight between market cycles, a glitch in the hologram where the source code shines through. Solarpunk fragility. Fragile, something that breaks when shaken. Antifragile, something that absorbs shocks and becomes stronger. Consider the following. Crypto's core innovation is a diptych. It empowers users while equally diffusing its attack surface. User empowerment is negatively correlated with fragility. The more empowered a user base, the more anti-fragile a network becomes. User empowerment and system anti-fragility are in positive feedback with each other. But this cycle also runs in reverse. In a transparent system, users are exposed. If the external environment turns hostile, this information can be weaponized against them. Faced with persecution, users will opt out, triggering a descent into fragility. The solarpunk mindset is essentially optimistic. Transparency in solarpunk systems is the spirit of optimism projected outward. By building transparent systems, the solarpunk says, I have faith that the law won't turn against me. Its insistence on optimism prevents it from preparing for the worst case scenario. This is the core of solarpunk fragility. Dark optionality. Anti-fragility hinges on unknowability. The future is dark. It cannot be predicted with meaningful certainty. Optionality has been called the weapon of anti-fragility due to its ability to leverage this darkness to its advantage. Optionality assumes your prophecies are wrong most of the time. Being wrong is cheap, while being right, is disproportionately rewarding. Lunarpunk integrates optionality because it thrives in the worst-case scenario. If the Lunarpunk thesis is wrong, the supercycle continues. If it's right, crypto enters its next phase armed with the appropriate defenses. Being well defended means going dark, using cryptography to protect the identity and activity of users. A prophecy. Anonymity is first compelled into being as an adaptation to mass surveillance, but its existence also further justifies surveillance efforts. This is a positive feedback loop that implies anonymity and surveillance are fated to escalate. Left running long enough, the loop triggers the next phase in the Lunarpunk's prophecy, what is known as the regulation trap. In this phase, governments use the increase in anonymity as a scapegoat to leverage the full extent of their power against crypto. Yet, by cracking down on crypto, hostile powers simply further its justification. Crypto's utility will be correlated with the extent of the crackdown. It expands disproportionately with each received blow. The lunar cycle. The sun is both a symbol of nature and of tyranny. Through its insistence on transparency and identity, Solarpunk inherits the dual characteristics of its central symbol. Solarpunk systems are desert landscapes in which users are endangered and exposed. Lunarpunk is more like a forest. A dense cover of encryption protects tribes and offers sanctuary for the persecuted. Wooded groves provide a crucial line of defense. Lunar landscapes are dark. They are also teeming with life. Lunar tech is owned and operated by the people themselves in service of their freedom. The lunar cycle upholds democratic techniques against authoritarian technology, freedom against surveillance, and diversity against monoculture. By favoring transparency in its systems, Solarpunk is tragically engineering its fate. Surveillance, the mechanism of authoritarianism, is bound to the Solarpunk destiny. For Solarpunk to succeed, it must integrate the Lunarpunk unconscious. The only hope for Solarpunk is to go dark.
What a great video. And I want to tell you guys that I completely agree with the video, because there, you can't have open, transparent ledgers that exist on their own and have that be the only option we have in crypto. We need privacy. And at the end, she's right. We do need to understand that in order for crypto to thrive, people will need fungibility and will need privacy. Yeah, I feel like an oddball, because I feel like, I'm one of the only people in the planet that actually sees value in both. I've yet to find anyone else like me. But it's okay. I guess that's my differential knowledge, right? Anyone from Ethereum, anyone from Bitcoin that has fallen for the lies of it being censorship resistant and is probably hurting because of all the crap happening with Tornado Cash, I'm really sorry for what you're going through. I hope you can resolve your issues and move on. I'm sorry that the crypto space is learning these lessons the hard way, but maybe that's just because of our nature as human beings. I don't know. But it just goes to prove that we are still in the very early days of crypto. We're still in the early days of crypto, and this is the time for you guys to learn. And don't think for one second that you have it all figured out. Crypto is interdisciplinary and multidisciplinary. Whether you like it or not, one of the disciplines that you should probably be studying is law. Because, again, these are systems of cooperation. Whether it be DAOs, smart contracts, or money. And systems of cooperation. In crypto, we still don't have systems of dispute resolution that are sophisticated. They don't exist yet. I mean, we have assurance contracts. We have a few things here and there, like different systems of escrow. But when shit hits the fan, people are indoctrinated to run to the government. So don't be surprised about that. Just know that you need to know where you stand. You need to know what these protocols and these cryptocurrencies really are for and how they're built so that you don't make the mistakes that others make in allowing either themselves to be deceived or just pretending that these systems are not subject to mass surveillance. This is the time to take your positions, to learn more, and to expand. Guys, go enjoy nature. Peace, love, anarchy. Bye.